Awesome. Thank you for that presentation. Fellas, is there anyone here, ushers, would you look around? If you do not have one of the Faith Promise cards, please raise your hand. Anyone? Okay. Would you look around? Keep your hands up, would you please? And make sure that everyone has one. I hope that last night, and I hope that today, you were praying about your faith promise, about what God would have you to give. This is an amount that God has laid upon your heart to give on a regular basis. I realize that some get paid once a month, some every week or every 2 weeks. But you are faithful with that amount. You give that to your church. And this church supports missionaries like the Swansons. And hopefully, if God leads this church, Brother Nick and his family going to Japan to try to reach those people for Christ. I'm sure that the missionaries could spend hours upon hours upon hours talking about the field where they are laboring. I could spend hours talking about my family, the good things about my family. I love my family, and I would love to talk about them. And I would love to talk about the missionary work that we're doing. If a missionary doesn't want to talk about that work, then maybe he's not really burdened or in love with that work. And so you can look at the missionary and see that there is no doubt that God has called them to that place. And if you multiply that times all of the missionaries that are spread around the world, and reaching people for Christ, and then the multiplication of that as they win people and train them and disciple them, it starts to grow. But we have to desire that. We have to want that. Is that what you want? I don't know. That's the response a lot of times in churches. I don't know. I don't know. There's not that burden there. And so part of the mission conference is inspirational. The missionaries come and they share that burden. And you can see that excitement in their life. And what a joy it is. I wish you could go with me when we print a Bible, a first edition, and give it to somebody and let them read it for the very first time, God's word in their language. Never had it before. And all of a sudden they read it. They know the language, but they'd never seen God's word in their language before. What a joy, what an excitement when they first experience that. And they start to grow and they start to learn what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to live. Well, we're dealing with this subject of faith promise, missionary giving. I pray that you're praying about your faith promise offering. And Sunday, bring those cards back. We will fill those out. We will tabulate that. We will get a number of what this church has promised to give to missions this coming year. And I hope that everybody will participate in that. I think everybody ought to. And I think all the young people ought to. Well, I don't have a job. Well, ask your mom or dad for a job around the house and then give that money to missions. I know that God will bless you for that. So I hope that you're participating in it. We looked last night into 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. So quickly, if you would go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 1 through 13. We'll not read all of those verses, but I do want to point out some key verses there. In verse 2, Paul writes to this church at Thessalonica, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So we mentioned last night that he refers five times something about their faith. Now, he is their father spiritually. He had gone to this place. Many of them he had led to Christ. He had to flee that place quickly because of great persecution. But he looked at them as their children, as his children. And as he is far away, wanting to come back and visit them, he's very concerned about what's taking place in the church. Now, I want you to know that this church is very special to me. And when this church has problems, that bothers me. What do I do when this church has a problem or a trial or a testing? I go to the Lord in prayer. I say, God, help them. If I can give a word of encouragement or challenge or an answer for you, I would do that. That's what Paul is doing to this church. And he did that with all of the churches. So he was concerned about their faith, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. He also said in verse 5, I send to know your faith. I want to know how you're doing. When I contact the churches and the pastors that I had the privilege of initiating, starting, I ask the pastor, how are you doing? How's the church doing? Is the church growing? Are there problems in the church? How is your faith? Is your faith multiplying? Are you reaching other people for the Lord? And so that's what Paul is doing to this church. In verse 6, he says, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. It's always a joy when those pastors that we, of those churches that we establish, would write us back or would call us and say, hey, our church is growing in faith. And that's what your faith promise ought to do. It ought to grow so that you can reach more people for Christ in the days to come through the missionaries. Then he says in verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. And so even though Paul was suffering great persecution and in great distress, he was comforted to know that they were living and acting out their faith and growing in their faith. And then the last thing he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul was always there ready to help them and help them grow their faith. Father, meet with us tonight. Lord, as you have already done that, through the singing, the fellowship, the presentation, our little trip across the ocean to the continent, the great continent of Africa, where there's over a billion souls that live there, 2,000, 200 or 300 tribal languages that are spoken in that place, a place of great darkness and of great need, but yet there is light that's going forth. Oh God, as you have enlightened us this evening, may we realize that now there's a great responsibility that's been placed upon us to respond. And may we do that. May we say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Speak to our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You and I are without an excuse because God has already told us what to do. Faith is the confident persuasion of unseen things. I told you last night, I've never seen God, but I believe in Him. And so we look at the presentation tonight and we think, wow, what a task. Who could ever do something like that? But God could do that. God burdened the heart of this family and they said, we'll go. We look at the life of Abraham over in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after received for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. We're not the first ones to go. God called Abraham and he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. How do you judge God? Do you judge him faithful? If he's made a promise to you, can you say God will come through with that promise? God called us to go to the country of Mexico. I didn't speak Spanish. I was young, had very little knowledge, but we said, Lord, here we are. Send us and we'll go. And all through the years, we found that God has been faithful. Some of you have been to visit us on the foreign field. I made a trip with you all to Costa Rica to see Brother Ronnie Todd. And I hope one day that you'll be able to go with us, Brother Chad, in our translation work someplace around this world. This last summer, for 2 years, we've not been able to travel because of COVID. Last summer, we made 2 international trips, one to Paraguay to work with the Guarani translation, and the other to Kenya, East Africa, to start a new translation project with the Swahili language. And in all of this 2 years that we were not able to travel, we were praying, God, raise up new projects. And in 2 years, God raised up 3 brand new languages without us making an international trip around the world. God wants his word to go forth. And in that translation conference in Nakuru, Kenya, there were over 100 pastors present. Out of those 100 pastors that were present, 15 of them stood and said that they spoke a tribal language. 2 of those tribal languages have no Bible whatsoever. So out of that conference, 2 languages, 2 translations have already started, and we're praying that more will continue. Out of that conference, 5 full-time, paid by the church, translators are working on the Swahili translation 8 hours a day, every day, 5 days a week, working on that translation. And I said, I hope that you're not just working on the Swahili. I hope that you have a vision for all of Africa, that as you start your work, now you can help others to get their translation going also. You see, God's called us to an impossible task. It's not impossible for him. It's impossible for us, but not for him. And so even with Sarah, that was barren, that was past age, that could not have a child, that impossible thing became possible because it was a promise from God. Do we have a biblical view of this world? How do we see this world? Do we look at this world as something that can only provide for me and supply for my wants? Or do I look at this world through the eyes of God and say, now God, what would you have me to do to reach this world for you? What God has commissioned, called us to do, sometimes is contrary to our natural desires or our natural abilities. Acts 1:8, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That was the commission that he gave to his disciples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, Paul tells the church at Corinth there was a great need. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. God has already given us a plan, a financial plan. You and I may not have the finances to be able to do that, but when we place those finances in God's hands, he starts to multiply that, just like he did in John chapter 6 when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. You might just have just a few little things. But when you place that life in God's hands, Brother Swanson one day was a little kid. Who would have ever thought that he would be a missionary in Cameroon? Now his wife, now she grew up there. She didn't have much choice. Her mom and dad took her there. But she fell in love with that place. I know she had to fall in love with it because she married her husband there and she's staying there. And so who would have ever thought that? But God knew that. But what about you? God has a place for you. But I'm not sure, listen to me, I'm not sure that you will fulfill that calling in your life, whatever it may be, until you give your all to God. What does that mean? Well, really, I want you to think about that. It's giving of yourself. Well, yeah, Brother Ziner, you always talk about giving the finances and giving those finances to God. Okay, I give that. Yeah, but what about all the other places in your life? Is God able to use you? There's one thing that I've tried to learn in my life, and that is balance. Now, I'm 73 years old, and to tell you the truth, I don't have much balance anymore. I try to stand on one leg, and it doesn't work too good, you know? But I'm not talking about that type of balance. I'm talking about balance in the church. You ever get mad at any of somebody or maybe something that you don't like or something that you're just a little upset about or, man, I just wish it was a little bit different? Instead of realizing, hey, God has a job for me, he has a calling for me, and I'm going to follow him. What did God tell us? He said, we're the salt of the earth. What does that mean? Well, salt is a preservative, isn't it? And it's been used for years. And you and I are the salt of the earth. And unless salt is applied to the meat or to the product, it's not going to do any good. Amen? It won't. You can have salt here and you can have meat here, but until that salt is applied to the meat, to the product, it's not going to preserve it. And until you and I are applied, until we touch this world and touch people's lives, we're not going to be a preservant. We're not going to help them one bit. But it has to start here in the church. And that's what Paul tells the church to do. Look over with me into the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Paul loved the church at Thessalonica. He loved the church at Philippi. And he's writing this church at Philippi and he says, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. He says to them, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So he prayed God's grace and peace upon them. Do you really feel God's grace and peace in your life? That's what Paul was praying for. That's what I'm praying for you, that you will see God's grace and peace. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that you find yourself in that position. I think it was 4 years ago, I think, if I'm right, right before the mission conference, I received a phone call, and Pastor Springer was in bad shape. Matter of fact, you weren't even sure he was going to make it. And I'll never forget that phone call that I got. And I was at my sister-in-law's house in Monticello, Kentucky. And we were all sitting around fellowshipping. We were having a good time. And I received that phone call, and I had it on speakerphone. And there was some crying and yelling on the other end, and I knew that it was something very, very important. And all of a sudden, in that whole room, there was silence. And everybody, all of my family in that room, heard that conversation that my dear friend was ready to meet his Savior. And after we hung up, all of us got on our knees and we prayed, God, if that's your will to take him, then you take him. But God wasn't finished with him yet. And the mission conference went on, and I remember coming to the conference and going right to the hospital to visit my dear friend. That conference that we had that year, I think, was the best one that we'd ever had. Pastor wasn't able to be here, and it wasn't because you weren't here. Maybe that's why it was good, because he wasn't here. That may have been the reason, but I don't think so. I really believe the reason is because all of you were prayed up. All of you were begging God. All of you were confessing sin in your life. All of you were forgetting all of the problems that you had one with another, and you were saying, God, please, 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 please help my grandpa, help my dad, help my pastor. Lord, please help him to be able to come back. And when we took up that faith promise offering, it was more than it had ever been before. And there was a reason for that. Now think about it, church. It's because you were ready. And I want to ask you something. Are you ready this year? Are you really ready? The missionaries have been invited to come. They're here. We're trying to teach. We're trying to show you some things from the scriptures. But unless you receive that, unless you want to receive that, it's not going to do much good at all. You can't rely upon the faith, just the faith that you had last year. You see, that faith that needs to grow in this year is going to help you overcome some obstacles, some hindrances that Satan is trying to put in your life. Now, I don't know what that is. Only you know what that is. And maybe there's some issues that you've never, ever been able to get over. I don't know what those are. But I do know one thing, that we are getting closer and closer to heaven. And I don't think... Now, I may die tomorrow, but I really believe I'm going to see the rapture before I die. And as I lift up my eyes and I look around this world and I see the chaos and the problems, not just in one place, but everywhere, I cannot help but think that everything is in preparation for that one man to come. I don't think Jesus comes back and then all of a sudden everything just starts. I think it's in the preparation right now. Can you imagine the confusion that is in the world today? And when that Antichrist comes and he gives the temporal solution to all of the problems in the world, what is man going to do? Not us. We won't be here. If you're born again, you won't be here. But what will the unsaved do? They will follow that man. Even Israel is going to follow that man for 3.5 years. Do you not see it? Can you not see it with your eyes and realize that we are living in those last days? So when I talk about balance, something that maybe bothers you that somebody does, can you just let God take care of it? I had an issue with somebody for several years. And I could have blown up and just hauled off and slugged them spiritually. I could have done that. But God said, you better not do that. You better just pray and act like I want you to act. And it wasn't but a few years that God solved that problem. Sometimes you and I want the problem solved right now. We don't like what's going on. And what that does, it hinders the growth and the unity in the church. That's what Paul was telling to the church at Philippi. There has to be love in the church. There has to be unity in the church. Church, you are living in a perilous time. And I'm not referring to the world situation. You have a pastor that's very sick. This church could be very vulnerable. Satan could come in and destroy this church if you allow it. But he cannot do anything unless you allow it. And so I think more than ever, you need to be united, serving God, loving Him, realizing, is it tomorrow that I'm going to be standing in heaven? Wow. I mean, life's been pretty good to me, and I'm not sure I really want to go. You don't have a choice on that. When Jesus comes back, you're going if you're saved. And everything that you've worked for, everything that you've done here, stays. That's probably a good thing. I don't think we want to take any of those things up into heaven. But church, to have a great Faith Promise conference, I really believe there's got to be a revival in the church. There's got to be a unity in the church. And it's not just one or two or five or 10 or 15 or 20 giving. Or it's not that others that just give and there's no change in your life. Make that change. And love Him with all of your heart. And then it becomes easy to give to Him. You know, it's easy to give to my children. My son, his daughter, they're being sued, and I finished with this. My time's gone. She was at Christian school, being bullied, and she took her lunch bag. This kid came up to her. She's a junior, and she had had about enough of him and took that lunch bag, and not realizing that there's a thermos inside of that bag, and hit that kid right alongside the head and knocked him out, right on the ground. Now, Brother Springer, when you and I were kids, if a girl knocked us out, we wouldn't tell anybody. No one would know that a girl knocked me out. Her mom and dad sued my son. Criminal charges. They've been in court here for 2 years, a little over a year. And this month they're going to go to court. And this is supposed to be a Christian family. My son had gone to him and apologized, made no difference at all. Connie and I have a little bit of savings, not much. We don't have much. But I called him in the house. I said, son, Mom and Dad have this much money. It's yours. It's not a loan. We'll give it to you. No, Dad, we don't need it. Why would I do that? Why would Connie do that? We don't care. It's our kid. It's our son. Whatever he... Son, do you need us to sell the house? We'll sell the house. What do you need? We'll give it to you. No, Dad. No. It'll be okay. But I'm going to tell you, it's there if they need it. Now, why would I do that? Because we love them. They're part of us. And they love us back. And there's unity and there's family. That's what will make this faith promise strong, when there's that type of unity and that type of love. Is my son perfect? Absolutely not. But he's my son. Is everybody in this church perfect? Absolutely not. But it's your family. And Paul said, pray for one another. Live in unity. Serve one another. Give to one another. And when that happens, this world cannot stop us. And we will send out missionaries from this place, not just to Japan and Cameroon, but there'll be missionaries coming out of this church that will go to the regions beyond. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for these dear folks. God, help us. Help us to search our hearts, our minds, our lives. Help us to look to you and follow you. For, oh God, we need you. Lord, it may be tonight that you come back. And we will all of a sudden be more alert than we've ever been in our entire life, realizing that we are in heaven, never to have another chance to make things right on the other side. And so, God, help us to realize that while we have time, while we have opportunity to make sure that we do right, that we serve you. I know I've said, God, but what about so-and-so? Look at, so-and-so belongs to you, God, not to me. And if they're doing something they shouldn't do, you'll take care of them. But I shouldn't desire that. So God, help me in my own life to be tender to the Holy Spirit, to love and to serve, to bring people to Christ. And I pray, Father, that this would be a great mission conference. Lord, that it would start within our hearts and flow to the ends of the earth to accomplish those things that would be impossible without you. Help us increase our faith, God, and help us to put you first above all things. In Jesus' name I pray.